Hello, this is Pastor Bill. I'm bringing you a news and focus from ADN.com. That's AnchorageDailyNews.com. It was posted on the 21st, so just a few short days ago. Before I read this article by Chris Thompson, I wonder if you have ever felt this interesting frustration, maybe a consternation, maybe a chafing of sorts when you hear that there is one of the Ten Commandments that we are not supposed to be concerned about, namely, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Does that bother you like it has me in times past? Well, this article, Chris Thompson, it's time we get back to observing the Sabbath. Would we be better off for observing the Sabbath? The Sabbath and its observance are deeply rooted in Judeo-Christian belief. Many of us were raised with the belief that the Sabbath is based on the Ten Commandments and that those still apply to mankind. After all, didn't we believe the concept of not murdering and not stealing and not lying, which is also part of the Ten Commandments? There are more commandments, but these are good illustrations. In many churches, the commands seem to provide the moral code for adherents to follow. The fourth commandment deals with, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And it gives the scripture. From that beginning, the Sabbath was known and practiced as a day of rest and worship. Literally, this was God's ordained break from most human activity. And in all my church visiting activity in Anchorage over the 10 to 12 years, I can think of no local church I've visited that truly follows the biblical injunction of Exodus 20:8-12. Most Christian churches in Anchorage have 1 or 2 hour worship services. Some offer Sunday school with few members attending, and some offer Sunday evening services, which reflects a tiny cross-section of members. For the most part, the rest of Saturday or Sunday, depending on worship day observed, is business as usual. Consequently, most local Christians spend the Sabbath working, shopping, watching TV, fishing, hunting, hiking, snow activities, and thousands of other activities. From the development of Christianity in the early church, it's obvious the apostles and early believers worshipped on the Sabbath, following the same practices as the Jews before them. But it goes even deeper. Well-known theologian Walter Brueggemann observes in the latest book, Sabbath as Resistance, saying no to the culture of now. In our own contemporary context of the rat race of anxiety, the celebration of Sabbath is an act of both resistance and alternative. It is resistance because it is visible insistence that our lives are not defined by the production and consumption of commodity goods. Such an act of resistance requires enormous intentionality and communal reinforcement amid the barrage of seductive pressures from the insatiable insistences of the market, with its intrusion into every part of our life, from the family to the national budget. But Sabbath is not only resistance, it's alternative. It's an alternative to the demanding, chattering, pervasive presence of advertising and its great liturgical claim of professional sports that devours all of the rest time. The alternative on offer is the awareness and practice of the claim that we are situated on and receiving end of the gifts of God. The 24/7 mentality in our society is ruining our inner health and peace, intruding upon those sacred things many of us grew up with. The practical observance of Sabbath would provide some of what's missing. This profoundly felt lack is being documented by many who are even beginning to take secular Sabbaths. An intriguing article by Mark Bittman detailed this approach in a 2008 New York Times article, I Need a Virtual Break. No, really. Bittman documents his struggles with technology and its controlling nature, especially apparent after he checks his phone messages and email on the flight, discovering he'd surrendered his last sanctuary. Thus began my secular Sabbath, a term I found floating around on blogs, a day a week where I would be free of screens, bells, and beeps, an old-fashioned day not only of rest but of relief. Bittman has been joined by thousands who are seeking and finding relief in secular or biblical Sabbaths, and they are benefiting greatly from the experience. It's time for churches to dust off the Ten Commandments and teach about the power of true Sabbath observance. Moral relevance is still powerful, and the observance of the Sabbath offers powerful benefits when rightly presented by clergy who should know. As important as Ten Commandments observance is, I'd love to hear my first sermon from Anchorage clergy on Sabbath. He's a religion scholar who visits local churches and writes about his experiences. Well, I suppose I would like to talk a little bit about why he is not a stalwart member of a church. After all, if all of Anchorage was like him, there wouldn't be any churches because no one would be paying the bills. The pastor wouldn't know who his people were. There'd be very little to do. I mean, very little. And yet, at the same time, after getting past all that, I have to acknowledge the fact that what he writes is, there's a lot to it. Now, let me just first of all get that big elephant out of the room that many of you are thinking probably. Number one, do I have to keep the Sabbath? Well, it seems like maybe we should, think this through and talk about whether or not you should be asking that question. Do I have to? Well, eventually you're going to find that you should. The Lord did. And we find that in Exodus 20, the reason that we actually observe a Sabbath day, not necessarily how we observe it, because certainly there's wiggle room for ceremonial observance of the Sabbath. But one thing we know is true. It is a rest from labor. It's a rest from labor. I don't know how to say this to you, but Sunday is not supposed to necessarily be the Sabbath. Not necessarily. And that might really bother some of you Puritan-minded folks out there. It might really bother you to think that you don't have a license now to not do anything on Sunday. On the other hand, we are told, despite the revolving work week, sometimes Tuesdays through Sundays with Mondays off and Sundays off, sometimes Wednesdays for 3 days and then 3 days off if you're a medical professional. But what is clear is that we're told of a good ratio in Scripture. 1 to 6. You need a rest day for every 6 days of labor. And my, how we can feel like we've been working hard after just a simple phone call or a simple correspondence barrage. And I've heard people say, well, I rest the best when I'm working. Well, I think that God disagrees with you. I think that you would have a hard time finding that in the creation week account. I don't think you're being honest when you say that I take my greatest pleasure when I'm out laying concrete or when I'm out building a shed. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. And yet, you won't stand before me. So the issue is really not, can I agree with the guy who's talking right now? The issue is whether or not you will give an account for being a lawbreaker. Truly, Christ died for lawbreakers. And yes, the Holy Spirit is kind enough as the agent of sanctification to tell us when we're sinning and to clean us up. But I don't think we need preachers telling their folks, hey, you don't have to worry about this command. Now, maybe one of you out there is thinking, well, that is the one command that's not repeated in the New Testament. Yes, but we must be careful not to speak out of both sides of our mouth. For example, we say the New Testament is a collection of letters. Even the Gospel Luke is a letter to Theophilus. Acts is a follow-up letter to Theophilus. We must assume that all the books in the New Testament are letters, and therefore, it's not intended to be a systematic theology book. They are a collection of God-inspired letters by men who were breathed through by the Holy Ghost. So the fact that the 10th commandment is not mentioned, or the 4th commandment is not mentioned, and I say it's the 10th because it's never mentioned. The reason it's not mentioned, I don't know why, but I know this. I know that God did it before the law was ever given on Mount Sinai. Now, pragmatically, it is a very good idea for you to learn how to rest. Yes, I understand Americans are living longer. But that doesn't mean they're happier. And it certainly doesn't mean they're healthier. If there's anything we need to come to grips with is that we are mortal. You only have 168 hours a week. You need to sleep a lot of them. You need to work a lot of them. And you need your rest. Well, for what it's worth, there's a guy up in Anchorage and a guy down in Fayetteville that thinks that you need to take a day a week off. Off. And while I'm at it, you better be real careful about skipping church to, quote, take your Sabbath, unquote. I get really irritated when I hear about believers who say they're going to forsake the assembling of the believers because they're going to go to the beach and get some family time. Yeah, that's called Saturday. You say, well, I worked on Saturday. Well, try to figure out a way where you don't have to do that. And take a Sabbath. Well, I hope you've been helped somewhat with this discussion. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.